The following message is entitled A Night of Wrestling and is brought to you by Narrow Way Media and Voice of One Productions.
Most of us here, I believe, are familiar with the story of Jacob's night of wrestling. So I hope that I can present it here in this message from a slightly different angle. And I pray that the Spirit of Christ might be here, might be present here to bring conviction to our hearts, that we might leave this place different than from when we came. Isn't that what worship should do? Being in the presence of God, beholding Christ, ought to change us. And I pray that that is true just now. So before turning in our Bibles to the chapter of Jacob's night of wrestling, I want to pass over a few events in Jacob's life prior to that night. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. The Bible says here, "And the Lord said unto her," this is Rebecca, "two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." This was the word of God spoken concerning the two brothers. And even today, when we make reference to them, we refer to them as Jacob and Esau, not Esau and Jacob. As we study Jacob's life, we see that although he believed that the word spoken in this verse was of the Lord, he didn't have a faith which allowed the Word of God to accomplish the fact. So for that reason, at the end of this chapter, Jacob bribing Esau out of his birthright. And in chapter 27, Jacob is using deception and lies in order to secure Esau's blessing. And as a result, Jacob brought upon himself the wrath of his brother and a lifetime of suffering. And in Genesis 47, verse 9, Jacob is looking back at his life. And he says, "Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." Jacob was forced to leave his father and mother for fear of losing his life at the hands of his brother. And in his lonely flight from Canaan, Jacob dreamed of that ladder which was set up on earth and reached up to heaven. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 28, starting in verse 13. "And behold, the Lord stood above the ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Oh, the mercy of God. Jacob was fleeing from his brother because he had used deception to obtain his brother's blessing. But here God shows his mercy in making this promise to Jacob. And so with these promises, Jacob makes his way to his uncle Laban's dwelling. While working for Laban, the Lord blesses Jacob with great substance. He left with just his staff in his hand, but here in the land, at Laban's place, he was blessed with great substance. And soon the house of Laban was jealous of his success. And so the word of the Lord comes to Jacob in Genesis chapter 31, verse 3, "Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." So even with this reminder of God's promise made to him at Bethel to be with him, Jacob makes his departure in secret. When Laban discovers that Jacob is gone, he pursues after him. But along the way, God speaks to Laban in a dream, saying, "Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad," which means don't threaten him or don't try to flatter him to get him to come back. So don't speak to Jacob either good or bad. So when Laban catches up with Jacob, he relates this dream to Jacob. This is further evidence to Jacob of God's watchful care over him. And now we turn to the 32nd chapter of Genesis, the chapter of Jacob's night of wrestling. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of the place Mahanaim, which means two camps or two hosts. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And then verse 6, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds, and the camels into two bands, and said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." So, greatly afraid, Jacob divides his group into two companies, preparing for the worst. Seemingly forgotten are the two hosts of the angels of God that were sent to assure him of divine protection. And finally, in his extremity, Jacob turns to the Lord in humiliation and repentance, reminding God of his promises. Verse 9. "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country, and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do to thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." So in the midst of great trials, Jacob was learning the lesson of total dependence upon God. Yet there awaited him one final test. Just as Abraham was tested because of his failure to trust wholly in the Word of God, in order that God's character might be vindicated, so also it must be shown to the watching universe, both good and evil, that God was right or just in confirming his everlasting covenant with Jacob, the deceiver. So sending his company over the river Jabbok, Jacob remains alone. All that Jacob had done to protect his family and to secure Esau's favor was not enough. Only in God could he find assurance. He must have an answer from the Lord. And so it was, bowed low to the earth in prayer, alone with God, Jacob's night of wrestling begins. My brothers and sisters, have you ever felt your own unworthiness? Have you ever felt that without Christ, you must perish? Have your past mistakes ever seemed to rise up ready to crush you? Have you ever felt that you were not forgiven? It was in such a state that Jacob cried out to the Lord for deliverance. It was in such a condition that a hand was laid upon him. The Lord had come to deliver Jacob. Continuing in the Bible, in Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Jacob had intended to plead with God for deliverance from his brother Esau, and now he is caught in a life and death struggle. Oh, the agony Jacob must have felt. Everything seemed against him. He needed this time for prayer, and here he was wrestling against some unknown enemy. So with superhuman strength, he struggled, he wrestled with this man. Though all seemed against him, though the accuser of the brethren, Satan, bore down upon him, reminding him of his sin and unworthiness, Jacob would not give up. He could not perish without God's assurance. And then just before the break of day, this stranger reaches down and touches Jacob's thigh. Instantly, Jacob is crippled. And he knows that he is not wrestling against flesh and blood, but with the Lord. Jacob's last tie to this earth, his strength, was taken from him, and now he had nothing left. Yet, he had everything. He holds in his arms the word that was with God, the word that was God. He could not let him go. Verse 26. And he saith, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he saith, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. In one final test of Jacob's faith and repentance, the Lord struggles to break free from Jacob's hold. But Jacob had not yet received the blessing he sought, and so he holds even tighter to the Lord. What is thy name? Jacob. This name is a reminder to Jacob of how he sought to receive God's blessing by deception. Jacob, the deceiver. To all appearances, it seemed that the Lord was against him. But Jacob knew the character of the one that he held to. This was the one who at Bethel promised to never leave Jacob and made his covenant with him. This was the one who blessed him with abundance though he was treated so poorly by Laban, and who protected him from Laban's anger. To these promises, and to God's covenant, and to the goodness of the Lord, Jacob held fast and would not let go. Verse 28. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Jacob's night of wrestling was over. He had prevailed. Through adversity and trial, Jacob had learned the lesson of total reliance upon God. When all earthly support was taken away, in the face of death and condemnation, he held fast to the word of God and would not let go. Verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. "Jacob, why do you ask my name? You know me. You know my character. You know I am love." Verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Peniel, the face of God. Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. And Jesus went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Our Savior also endured a night of wrestling. Lying prostrate upon the earth, his Father's favor was being withdrawn from him. All that Jacob endured, there in Gethsemane and upon the cross, Jesus endured, and so much more. In Psalm chapter 22, we gain a glimpse of these wrestlings of Christ. Psalm chapter 22. If you'll turn there. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Here Christ is wrestling with the reproaches of an accusing conscience. He took upon himself our sins. He bore them in his own body on the tree. And he felt guilty and dirty before God, bearing our guilt and our shame. And there he was, shamefully exposed with our sins. The prophet Zechariah writes in Zechariah 13:7, "Awake, O my sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts." The wrath of God, his hatred against sin and all that it does, is turned upon Jesus Christ. And all alone, having become the curse of God, Christ hangs between heaven and earth. And to all appearances, Christ is utterly forsaken of God. Yet Christ will not let go. Just as Jacob clung to the promises of God, Christ held fast to God's promises and to the evidences of the Scriptures and to his experience with God, his Father, while walking upon this earth. Verse 4. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. So Jesus here is holding fast to the unchanging character of his Father, pointing back to how God dealt with the fathers, with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and all the others. But then the thought comes to him in the next verse. Verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, and a reproach of men, and despised of the people. The temptation to doubt God's goodness is introduced into his thoughts. But again, Christ will not let go. Verse 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. And so Christ prevails. Verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. No. Christ did not see the face of God. He only saw the eternal darkness of the tomb. But he had God's word, and he knew the character of his Father, and for him it was enough. With his life safe in the hands of his Father, with whom he was well acquainted, Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, bowed his head and died in our trespasses and sins. Brothers and sisters, we also have a night of wrestling before us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20, verse 23. And Jesus saith unto them, James and John, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Ye shall be baptized. Ye shall indeed drink of my cup, and ye shall be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. We have a night of wrestling before us. To a sleeping, self-sufficient church, living at the very end of time, these words of Christ, that we shall be baptized with his baptism, we shall drink of his cup, are repeated in loud, clear tones, though spoken nearly 2,000 years ago. Turn to Revelation 3, verse 21. The Bible says here, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. A night is coming when all faces will gather paleness. Like approaching Esau, church members, former friends, and even family members will be seeking to take our lives. Listen to the prophetic language spoken about those who are going to be living in that time. Psalm 44, verse 13. The Bible says here, thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth, by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this has come upon us, yet we have not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from the way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaved unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Brothers and sisters, the day cometh, but also the night. A night of total darkness. A night where you and I will be all alone. It will seem that even God has forsaken you, that his frown is upon you. Satan will do all in his power to remind you of your sinfulness and complete unworthiness. Every earthly support will be cut off, and heaven will seem so far away. Brothers and sisters, that night, the only thing that we will have to cling to is this, the Word of God. But no, we won't have time then to search the Scriptures. If we have not obtained the extra oil beforehand, our lamps will go out and the darkness will be complete. It is through prayerful study today, obtaining the knowledge of the living Word, Jesus Christ, knowing Him, knowing His character, that we can hold fast on that day to the Word of God and to His promises. And even though the fires of affliction will be burning hot, we will not let go. For we know that He keeps His covenant, and we shall be blessed. Oh, brothers and sisters, do not let go that night. I hope to see all of you there in glory. It is at midnight that God's people are delivered. And then it is that we will have our Peniel, for we shall see God face to face, and our life will be preserved. We shall see the face of Jesus, the one who was right there wrestling with us, giving us the strength that we needed to endure. Isaiah 27:5, the promise is, "Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me." Oh, the weakest of the weak, that night, who strong in faith holds fast to Jesus Christ, will see the heavens open, and that last night that this earth shall ever see will break forth into an eternal day with Him who loved us. This is from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 203. The Messenger of the Lord writes, "It is now that we are to learn this lesson of prevailing prayer, of unyielding faith. The greatest victories to the Church of Christ or to the individual Christian are not those that are gained by talent or education, by wealth or the favor of men. They are those victories that are gained in the audience chamber with God, when earnest, agonizing faith lays hold upon the mighty arm of power. Those who are unwilling to forsake every sin and to seek earnestly for God's blessing will not obtain it. But all who will lay hold of God's promises, as did Jacob, and be as earnest and persevering as he was, will succeed as he succeeded." Jeremiah chapter 30, starting in verse 5. "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, For that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it.
This message has been brought to you by Narrow Way Media and Voice of One Productions. For more uplifting and straight testimony from the Word of God, visit narrowwaymedia.org. The music in this message is credited to Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.